2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I've had this thought on my mind for quite some time now. I've been praying about it and preaching and wanting to preach on it, and the Lord just has not given me the liberty to do so. And I laid it down. I said, Lord, okay, if you want me to preach this sometime, then you have to bring it back to mind. I'll come back to it if you want me to, but I'm just going to leave it alone. And this week he did just that. Since Sunday, I haven't been able to get it off my mind. I've been thinking about it over and over again, and I believe this is what he had for me to preach tonight. I don't know why, I believe now is the time to preach. It ought not to be controversial, so I don't get too scared. That's not what I'm trying to do, but I believe it's very important to understand. The subject I'm talking tonight, as you've probably already figured out, is Baptist distinctness. What makes a Baptist church a Baptist church? Why do we call ourselves Baptist? And why not just New Hope Church? Why New Hope Baptist Church? What's the point of it? Why do we hold the Baptist name? Is it only because of baptism? You say, well, I don't really care either way what the name is. I've just come here because for the Lord would have us at this time. And that's good. You should be where the Lord tells you to be. Be where the Lord leads you to. Wherever he has you to go, go there. But it's important to know what you're agreeing to by being part of the church. You become a member of New Hope Baptist Church, you shake hands, if you will, you agree with the doctrines and the practices of New Hope Baptist Church. What do you do at your home is your own business. That's between you and the Lord. It's individual soul liberty. We'll get to that. But as far as the church, you have to line up what the church agrees with. You shake hands with the doctrines of the church. You ought to know what you're agreeing to. So it's important to know. It's important to understand. Now, that's important to know in case someone asks you about it. If someone came to you and said, okay, why are you a member of New Hope Baptist Church? Why are you a Baptist? What would you say? You ought to have an answer for them. And say, what makes you different than every other church in town? What would you say? It's important to have an answer. The Bible says we need to be ready to answer every man. Now, there's no way I could cover all of these distinctives in one service. I mean, I could quickly run through them. That's not what I want to do. So I got you wrote a little acrostic there on the board. You've probably heard of that before. Now we can focus on just that first one tonight. Bible is the sole authority here. We call it the supremacy of the Scriptures. We call the same thing. Now, Abby, it's my turn. There are three different places you can place your final authority spiritually. There are only three different arguments. Everything else they may give you an argument, it all boils down to three different things. Number one, the first option is some men will say that they're their own authority, that their conscience is the final authority on whether anything is right or wrong. And what I decide is, what my conscience says, that's what I decide is right and wrong. That's called secular humanism. Option number two, some would say the final authority for what is right or wrong lies in the church. And that's the Roman Catholic doctrine. I'm not just trying to pick on the Catholic Church. They got mad at me Sunday morning picking on the Catholic Church. Not mad at me. Anyway. I'm not here to pick on the Catholic Church, but you can see that all throughout their religion, all authority lies with man of the church. You confess to your priest, to your sins, and the laws and commandments are made up and often written by the Pope. Maybe there are some of the religions that lean this way, but they stem from the Catholic Church. That's option two, authority in the church. Option three, the final authority lies in the Word of God. And that's what the Baptists believe. And that's the truth. That's the first distinctive that makes a Baptist a Baptist. I'm not your priest. I'm not your Pope. Thank goodness I don't want to hear all what happened. I'm not worshiping the Virgin Mary, which, by the way, she had more children later on. The Virgin Mary one time says Joseph knew her not until she brought forth the firstborn son. Anyway, side note, it's a pet peeve of mine. But anyway, all power, all authority is in your life, and the Baptist believes it lies in the inerrant, infallible, preserved Word of God. And that's it. Our church constitution, it was written exclusively for New Hope Baptist Church. It says this about that very subject. It says, the authority of this church comes directly from Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. Therefore, God's word, which is the word of Jesus Christ, according to John 1:1 and John 1:14, shall be the final authority in all matters relating to the faith and practices of this church. It goes on to say, we believe the 66 books of the Old and New Testament are verbally inspired by God, inerrant, infallible, immutable, complete, final, and only revealed word of God, preserved in the King James Version, English-speaking people, and as the supreme and final authority of faith and practice. God has preserved the Holy Scriptures for us today, and they are the standard by which all human conduct, creeds, and opinions shall be tried. We preach and teach with the authorized King James Version of 1611, and there's a long list of references. You can go and read about those things and why we believe those things. That comes from our constitution, the New Hope Baptist Church. So the first Baptist distinctive of biblical authority is also a distinctive of New Hope Baptist Church. Believe in the biblical authority. Amen to that. Thank God for that. The Bible, this is going to be kind of different here, not my normal kind of outline, but the Bible gives the church authority. It would be easy for someone to take everything I just said and then use it to strip the church of any governing authority. Some might say, well, that, the church can't discipline me because God's word is the final authority, not the church. That mean old church can't make those kinds of stands because they're not an authority. The Bible is an authority. And I agree. The Bible is authority. But Matthew 18, verse number 16 says, but if he will not hear thee and take with thee one or two more, then in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every man, every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen, man, and a publican. This passage is Jesus talking about church discipline and how to handle it. So the final authority, the Word of God gives the church the authority to give the authority of the Word of God. I hope that makes sense. I know I'm probably making that a lot more confusing than it ought to be. The point is we are free people. God has given us liberty. But as part of the church, we still have to act like part of the church. And the reason for that, the authority given is given by the final authority of the Word of God given to the church to discipline those things. The Baptist distinction of biblical authority implies that the church will uphold the teaching, the standards given to us in that final authority of the Word of God. The New Testament is what governs our Baptist church, and we are to uphold that and govern with that. Many neglect the idea of a church as a governing body. It's just there to make us feel good or pat us on the back. They believe to each their own. And because of that, some do their home church or refuse to join any church body. The truth of it is, if you will read and you'll study the New Testament Word of God, you'll find the local church is a command and an offspring of Jesus Christ. Came from Him. The church came from Him. The church is the final authority to uphold the Word of God because of the Word of God. The Word of God is our authority, and we are to uphold that. I hope I'm making sense. They're probably a lot more confusing than it ought to be. The Word of God is our authority, and the Word of God gives the church authority. The Bible is a sole authority for faith and practice of the church. You might say, how can you be so confident in that? Well, the Word of God, the very words of Jesus Christ teach us that thing is so. Jesus Himself says in John 10:35 that the Scripture cannot be broken. You can't take pieces here and pieces there and pick and choose what you want to believe. It comes as a whole package. The whole Word of God comes together. Scripture read a minute ago, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. Every piece of the Word of God is there for a reason. If we can't throw out pieces when we don't want them, if one part of Scripture goes against another part of the Scripture, then you have the wrong interpretation of the Scripture. They will all agree. The Bible does not contradict itself. They are all true. Every part of it is true. That's why it's so important to compare the Bible with the Bible. What the devil talked about in Sunday school, the Bible is the best commentary on itself. If you don't understand one passage of Scripture, read around, look at some other passages, put them together, you'll understand. Ephesians 4:4 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There is one truth. It's saying nowadays, or their truth and my truth, that's false. There's one truth and the rest is a lie. That's the way it is. My dad used to tell me, there's always his truth and her truth, and then there's actual truth. There's only one truth. And one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's what the Scripture says. What did the Bible say about Abraham? Romans 4:3. For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God and was counted him for righteousness. Abraham believed what God said. Believed what God told him. What's the Word of God? That's what God has told us. Be counted you as righteousness. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Those in Thessalonica, according to Paul, were more noble because they were constantly in the Word of God, studying the Word of God. The Word of God is more powerful than any vision or voice or anything else that supposedly happens. We don't need those signs and wonders anymore because we have the Word of God. It says in 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, Word of God. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Everything that's ever been taught in the Scriptures, even the prophets of old, he says, spake because they had, before the Word of God, they spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. We have a more sure word of prophecy. We have the word of God. If anybody tells you they have a new interpretation or they had a new vision or a new private interpretation, it's a lie. It is a lie. There is no private interpretations of the scripture. That's what the word of God says. Not to pick on anyone in particular. Simply point out an error you may be faced with. That's why I'm not on my video tonight. Mormonism is based solely off of one man's so-called private interpretation. Joseph Smith. I'm not trying to pick fights or pick on anybody in particular. I'm just trying to give you the truth. Point out error. Joseph Smith, directed by this angel, Moroni, this is what he said. He's directed to these, I think it's a funny name, Moroni. Anyway, I'll be nice. Was directed to these very golden tablets in the mountains of New York. He couldn't dig up the tablets in because the angel wouldn't let him. So he had to come back every year on the same day, 4 years in a row, came back. On the fourth year, the angel eventually let him dig up those tablets, pick up the box, and carry it home. He was supposedly instructed by this Moroni to not show anybody else these tablets. Imagine that. Later on, because of some scrutiny, 11 of the men came out of nowhere and said that they had seen the tablets just to get rid of the scrutiny that was happening because of that. So he took them home. He had to cover them and could only read them with what he called his magical spectacles. A little stone in the bottom of his hat. He could only look through there, and for 3 months, he covered himself up. And 3 months, he read what these tablets said while a scribe wrote it down. And that's where the Book of Mormon came from. Once he was done, he returned the tablets to the angel Moroni, never to be seen from again. I'm not making this up. It's interesting, isn't it? I'm not trying to poke fun at anybody. I'm not here to laugh at anybody. I want you to know what we're standing up against. This is heresy. It's false doctrine. It's a lie from the pits of hell. No private interpretation, according to 2 Peter. Nobody else is going to tell you something else that God said. This is the complete and inerrant word of God. Nothing else is going to come of it. As a Baptist, we don't believe that any other man other than Jesus Christ in His Word has the right to impose any laws or rules for the church. We believe the Word of God and nothing else. The Word of God is complete. Therefore, no new laws need to come out. There are many religions, even Baptists, have traditions. The problem comes in with tradition is taught as doctrine. Mark 7:9 says, "And he said to them, full well, ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." You cannot reject the Word of God and keep your tradition. If a tradition goes against the Word of God, it's time to kick your tradition to the curb because it's wrong. Again, not picking on anybody in particular. The Catholic Church is full of tradition. Many of the things they do has no biblical reasoning behind it. They do it because that's what the Pope said to do, and they take it as doctrine. I can promise you I'm no Pope. I don't want to be a Pope. My words are definitely far from infallible. I make mistakes all the time. The final authority of this church is the Word of God alone. If I start to sway, if I start to go contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the church constitution, y'all get together, you gang up on me, and you vote me out of here and get a man that will stand on the Word of God. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Don't let somebody come in here and go contrary to the Word of God. That's what this church stands on. If something happens to me, I don't plan on going nowhere, but if God removes me, y'all don't kick me out. Anyway, don't listen to what I just said. If I do, something does happen. Don't go changing the church constitution. Go change your biblical values and what you believe the Word of God says to please a man. Stand on the Word of God and only the Word of God. Some say, well, what we believe really doesn't matter that much. It says in Matthew 15:7, it's a Jesus again. "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Jesus says, with their mouth they draw nigh to me, with their lips they honor me, but their heart is far from me. Why? They're teaching the doctrines of man, not the doctrines of God. I'm not here to bash any man. I don't wholeheartedly agree with any man in history. Every man has made a mistake at some point or another. I'm not going to be teaching any doctrines of man. I'm teaching the Word of God. I don't care who the man is. And whether it's Charles Spurgeon or Bob Jones Sr., whether it's Jacobus Arminius or John Calvin, even back to Augustine, I'm not here to teach any man's doctrines. I'm only going to teach the Word of God. And if I err from that, get me out of here. Why? Because every one of those men made mistakes. Every man makes a mistake, whether you agree with part of their teachings or not. They're all wrong on different things. And God says if you're following after man's doctrines, our heart is far from Him. The second I go following after a man, and contrary to the Word of God, I'm an error. And you're going to make a mistake. And God says your heart is far from Him. If you're reading after a man, he's going contrary to the scriptures. You go back to the Word of God and figure out where he messed up. Many men have good things to say. I have a bunch of books right there. I enjoy reading after other godly men that know a lot more than I know. But if they go contrary to the Word of God, then I have to back up, see where they went wrong, and fix that, and ignore that part of their teaching. You have to be biblically aware enough to pick up on and spit out the bones, so to speak, and learn the truth. The truth is in the Word of God. As a Baptist, we hold tight to the Word of God. As your pastor, I'm going to hold as tight as I can to the Word of God. It's our final authority. A few things about the Baptists in the Bible. Did you know the New Testament was written by Baptists? Some people might not like that. 8 authors in the New Testament, Matthew, John, James, Peter, and Jude, are all baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. Mark, Luke, and Paul, baptized by others who got their baptism from John the Baptist. Jesus, baptized by immersion by John the Baptist. Put that on the church sign. Jesus was a Baptist. Do you know that Baptists for centuries have been persecuted? Of all the religions, why would they persecute the Baptist? Because they stood on the Word of God, would unapologetically stand on the Word of God. The Catholic Church for centuries persecuted the Baptist. From them, you also have the Anglican, same problem, persecuting the Baptist. The Presbyterians, they came out of the Catholic Church, Protestant religion. They persecuted and murdered untold number of Baptists. At that time, they called Waldenses, who held to the Baptist doctrine. And they took the credit for the Waldenses, and then they changed Waldenses' statement of faith and what they stood for, confession of faith, and they changed it all. And now it's all messed up and inerrant, and they've changed it all. It's all Protestant religion. Why? Because the Presbyterians came in, they took over, they persecuted the Waldenses. They would tie them by their feet and drag them behind their horses. Many other things I'm not going to tell you about. Little girls on stakes all the way through their bodies, done by the Presbyterian Church or the Waldenses who stood on the Baptist doctrine. Why? Because they would not bow to error, would not bow to the Catholic Church, would not bow to the Protestants. All throughout history, the Baptists have stood against infant baptism, baptismal regeneration, and all these other doctrines that the majority of other religions hold dear. Why? Because the doctrines go against the Word of God. We believe the Word of God. Samuel here, I can't say his name, Hieron, I believe is his name, in the 17th century, he said this about the Baptists. He said, "We do not hang on Calvin's sleeve, nor yet on Zwingli's, we believe, and Puritans we do defy, if right the name you do apply." Baptists don't believe, don't follow any man except Jesus Christ. Baptists believe and have always believed solely on the Word of God. They have not always been called Baptists. There are different names given Christians, first at Antioch. They were called Anabaptists later on, many years later. They were called Novatians and Donatists and Waldenses, all sorts of different names throughout history. Their doctrines remain the same. Anabaptists began being the main one in 16th and 17th century. Anabaptists have often been grouped together with a Protestant group by Ulrich Zwingli. That's not true either. The Baptists have never come out of the Catholic Church. We are not Protestant. We do not celebrate Reformation Day because we are not a Protestant church. We have for centuries survived believers of the Word of God. God has had a remnant throughout history since Antioch of men who stood and believed solely on the Word of God, and that is their final authority. The Baptist believe in the Bible. Now, I'm not here to make anybody mad. I'm not here to just here to tell you the truth from the Word of God. You know, I hold firm on my stand on the King James Bible and the Church Constitution. I read that to you a minute ago. I want to explain that to you. I'm not trying to hurt anything, harm anyone. Just explain why. Christians, as you know, were first called Christians at Antioch. Acts 11:26. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Why is that so important to know? Because out of Antioch was where the Greek text came. It was translated by Erasmus into the Textus Receptus, which is where King James 1611 Bible was translated from. All other modern translations of the Word of God came out of the corrupted text, translated by Origen in Alexandria, Egypt. It was used by Constantine when he wanted to write the Bible for the Catholic Church. Origen was a proponent of infant baptism, as was Constantine, as in the Catholic Church, and as in most other Protestant religions, even infant baptism. Novatians and Donatists, I'm getting somewhere, I promise, and that's a lot of history. Novatians and Donatists, the Baptists of that day, rejected this new Bible, translated by Origen, and they were persecuted for it. Why? Because the Bible taught infant baptism. The church that held it taught infant baptism, and they would not believe it. Now, we could go on for a while about that. I'm not going to try to do that right now. I don't want to bore you. Some say, "Well, preacher, I don't care about all that stuff. I don't agree with all those things. I just don't like all the these and thous." I can sympathize with that. Here's the problem. Matthew 18:11. the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. That's what your King James Bible says. You know what it says in the ASV? Nothing. It skips it. The Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. You know what it says in the ESV? Nothing. You know what it says in the NIV or the RSV, NLT, and so on and so forth? Nothing. Has a number and a blank. Or they just skip the number altogether. Why? Because the text they translated from was corrupted. Mark 7:16. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. It's a pretty important verse, wouldn't you agree? That's what the King James Bible says. You know what the ASV and the ESV and the RSV and NLT and MOUSC say? Nothing. You skip it. Why? It's a pretty important verse, don't you think? Why would they skip that? Because that verse goes against what Origen, what Constantine believed, and therefore it was removed. A couple more and I'll leave it alone. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. What is that in verse 7? Proof of the Trinity of Christ. Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. These three are one. Proof of the Trinity. Here's what the ASV says. And it's the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is the truth. All the translations say something similar. What do? They remove the Trinity of Christ from the Scriptures. Why do they do that? Because that's not what Origen, and that's not what Constantine believed in. They removed it. It's corrupted text. One more, and there's many more I could show you all throughout. I'm not going to do that tonight, though. Acts 8:37, King James Bible says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is the passage of Philip and the eunuch. The eunuch wanted to be baptized and said, well, why can't I get baptized right here? He says that in verse 36. I didn't read that. That's what he says. In verse 37 that I just read, Philip's asking him if he actually believed in Jesus Christ. He says he does believe in the Son of God. The eunuch made a profession that he believed in the very Son of God. He made sure he was a believer before he was baptized. You know what the ASV and NIV and so on and so forth say? They skip verse 37 altogether. They leave out the part about the eunuch having to believe in the Son of God first. Why would they do that? They make the passage say that eunuch commanded to be baptized, so Philip stopped, and he baptized him right there and made him a believer. Makes believers' baptism false. Makes baptism regeneration truth, which we know even from other passages, that's heresy. Why would they do that? Because it went against their belief of baptism regeneration. If you're not saved before baptism, then baptism does nothing. Baptism is simply an ordinance we're to follow. You get the two ordinances, get that later on. It is an outward showing of an inward change. It's nothing more. That's what baptism is. Why would these men remove this from their text? Because they believed in baptism and regeneration. Every modern version that I know of comes out of that corrupted text. Out of Alexandria, Egypt. It's corrupted. They made it say what they wanted it to say. So what's the point? The point is the first distinctive of Baptists is that we are to believe in the sole authority of the Word of God in our life and in our church. And in many Baptist churches, including this one, we hold to the only preserved, uncorrupted translation of the Word of God for the English-speaking man, and that is the King James Bible of 1611. It's not a pride thing. It's not a tradition thing. There's a solid reason for it. The other one's corrupted. This one's complete. It's more proof of the inspiration of the Word of God. Somebody said, well, I don't think the Word of God is really inspired. I've had men tell me that before. Baptist preachers tell me that before. Some say it's just a bunch of men's writings from years ago. Men wrote it down. They wrote down. They were moved by the Holy Ghost to do so. They did write it down. They were moved by the Holy Ghost to do so. Here's some proof. The Old Testament alone is said to act. I have to admit, I didn't count it myself, but it said that there are around 3,800 places where we can find the expressions like the Lord spake and God said, the word of the Lord came too, and so on, all in the Old Testament. 3,800 different times that's mentioned in the Old Testament. The very words of God were quoted in the Old Testament. That'll be pretty good proof it's inspired by the Word of God. Another one, all through the Old Testament, you find not only good things about the characters of the Bible, you'll find bad things about the characters of the Bible as well, Old and New Testament. Look at David. Look at Judges we've been preaching on. Look at Paul. He was a murderer. Would that not hurt Paul's reputation if people knew about it? Would men not try to leave those things out? If that was me writing, I'd make sure that part got erased out of the text. I wouldn't nobody else know about that. Why is it included in there? Because it's the inspired Word of God, and God wants us to hear it. If it was simply man, we'd leave that out. Number three, even Jesus himself endorsed the very Word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. The glory is only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It calls Jesus Christ the Word of God. Proof number four, look around you. Look at all the lives that have been changed directly as a result of the very Word of God. Read some books sometimes. Read some history. Listen to some testimonies of people reading the Word of God and their lives being changed, being saved just from reading the Word of God. No other books can claim the impact the Word of God can claim. I'll be proof it's inspired by God. Proof number five, the Bible is written all about God. It's all about Jesus. It tells His words. It tells His quotes. It tells His works. His suffering and His death on the cross, His resurrection, His commandments, is all written about Him. Over and over again, it's all about Him. Why would any other author try to convince you of God if it were not of God Himself? It's inspired by God. Many other religions and denominations will claim the Word of God is their final authority. A lot of people say that. When you ask them something, they say, well, look in this book over here. Just to make it fair, they're by a Jehovah's Witness. Don't leave anybody out. They will claim that. They even say they use the King James Bible, and only the King James Bible. They say their sole authority is the Word of God. You ask about some of their doctrine, they say, well, let me look at this book over here. Their sole authority is apparently not the Word of God. As Baptists, we believe in the Word of God for all our faith and all our practice. Everything we believe, everything we stand for, you can find here in the very Word of God. B.H. Carroll said this in his book, Baptists and Their Doctrines, his book's title. He says, all the New Testament is the law of Christianity. The New Testament is all the law of Christianity. The New Testament will always be all the law of Christianity. What does that mean? That means we believe everything it says, and everything we believe is everything it says. And that's never going to change. None of this is to put down the Old Testament. The Old Testament is there just as true, just as inspired as the New Testament is. The New Testament teaches our practices and our laws as a church. We don't find the church in the Old Testament. I'm not your priest. You don't come in here with your goat and your lamb and your book. Thank goodness for that. We don't have to do those things. We're in the day of grace, the day of the church. That's why we don't have the high priest and those priestly offices. Those sort of things. You look at these different denominations. Often they'll use the names and the church polity of the Old Testament. That's not for us today. We don't have priests in these different things. Because we're done away with it. Christ came and died on the cross. The veil of the temple was rent in two. We don't have to worry about those things. The Old Testament laws, the laws of Moses, are schoolmaster for us to teach us, to guide us. Galatians 3:23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under schoolmaster. And the faith has come. Jesus Christ has come. We no longer have to live under the law. It's God, we live under grace. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm thankful to be living under grace. And I'm glad I don't have to raise my sheep and bring one to the church to sacrifice. We can eat bacon. Praise the Lord for that. Can't get to say anything. We need pepperonis and ham. Thank you. Papa's Pizza. They're able to have those things. Thank goodness for that. And get somebody to listen to me a little bit anyway. I know I said a lot tonight, and I probably offended all of you in some way at some point. I didn't do that on purpose. I may try to purposely offend you. I didn't study this and say, well, I can offend somebody to this and that. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I'm going to stand on the truth of the Word of God. I'm not going to be ashamed of it. That's what God's called me to do. You voted me to be your pastor, to uphold those things. That's what I'm going to do. If God tells me to say something, stand on something, and I don't, He's going to hold me accountable for it, not you. So I'm going to do all I can to stand and not waver. Baptist distinctives. It's an important thing to know. It's important to understand. First thing here is pretty simple. It's man that makes it complicated. Just believe what the Bible says. Just believe what it says. In and out, beginning to end, just believe it and follow it. Believe the Word of God and follow it, and you'll be okay. It's the final authority of the Baptist Church. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, I pray you help these words. Lord, help us to learn. Lord, I pray you apply it to our lives, Lord. Help us to understand the meaning behind these scriptures, Lord. Thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.